Now, regular listeners to the programme will be aware that Uachtaráin na hÉireann, Michael D. Higgins, has commissioned a biodiversity audit at Áras an Uachtaráin. This year-long study is being undertaken by a team of ecologists based in Trinity College Dublin, and over the 12-month period, the team will quantify both habitat and species diversity on the 130-acre site, an area that contains both formal gardens, certified organic kitchen gardens, and areas that are managed for biodiversity. The Mooney Goes Wild programme has been actively recording these sessions, and already we have interviewed Margaret Gormley, Chief Park Superintendent responsible for the Áras, who gave us an insight into its history and ecology, and also mycologist Professor Paul Dowding, who pointed out all the various mushrooms found there. Well, tonight it's the turn of the birds. Recently, Terry Flanagan headed off at dawn with Professor Nicola Marples on a transect walk around the grounds to see which bird species were present.
Nicola, we've just finished our transect walk. What is a transect? Just explain it exactly.
Well, it's very simple. It's basically just a straight line walk through the habitat for about a kilometre. At about 2 kilometres an hour, so that you're going slowly enough that you spot all the birds and give them a chance to sing to you. And you try and assess all the birds within a given area. So you have an area either side of the line that you're walking that's about 30 metres each side, because it's quite dense habitat. And you mark all the birds that you detect inside that area and also outside that area in case something exciting flies over.
Now, we've seen lots of birds this morning. I was amazed, for instance, at the number of coal tits that we saw.
Yeah, it surprised me as well. I expected there to be more blue tits and great tits than coal tits, but certainly in Britain you would get a lot more of those two and fewer coal tits. Ireland has a lot of coal tits. It seems to be rather better on this island than on the neighbouring island, which is surprising.
Now, the transect that we've done, as you said, it's a kilometre long, but we went through quite a lot of different habitats. We were in deep woodland, we were in kind of grassland, we went by the lake, so mm-hmm. You would be expected to see lots of different birds.
Yes, and all we're trying to do here is have a standard transect through a part of this area, and we've arranged the transects to cover all the different habitats within the garden. So we've got 3 different transects, and each one, if we do all 3 each time, then we get a standardised comparison from one month to the next. And all we're trying to do is give all the different birds for different seasons equal chance of getting detected. So we did some in the summer, we will do some in the summer, we did some in the winter. And in the winter we were getting many fewer birds, but they would be different birds. They'd be the birds that are staying over here for the winter, and then those birds will travel elsewhere, will travel further north to breed. And we're now getting birds that come to us to breed that overwinter in Spain or further south. So we swap over a different group of birds each time we come.
But is it also not a case that you're getting more birds now than in the winter time for a different reason, because we're hearing them singing? I was just watching as you were counting them there this morning, and quite a lot of them, probably 2/3 of the birds that you recorded this morning, were from their call or from them singing. You wouldn't have had that a month or 2 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely true. So the resident birds are comparing between months isn't a good idea because of that. But if you think about it, all of this is just an estimate. So if you are walking through a habitat and you're trying to count how many robins are there, you will get the robins who happen to be male, who happen to be singing and defending their territory, so happen to be adult and are singing when you happen to pass. So all of those things mean that there's many more robins that you didn't detect. Mm-hmm. Now, robins are unusual in that both the sexes sing, but quite a lot of birds, only the males sing. So you're going to miss all the females, you're going to miss all the juveniles, and anybody who hasn't got a territory. So it isn't a way of counting the total number present. What it is telling you the minimum number that were definitely present.
And particularly as well, the species that are here.
Yes, and the species that are here, absolutely. So you get some idea of abundance, and you get a comparative idea of abundance here compared to a different transect in a different part of the habitat, or compared to a different transect in somebody else's habitat, so, you know, outside in Phoenix Park or somewhere else. So the comparison within a given month is fair, but it isn't a total number. that's present in the place.
What was your highlight this morning?
Oh, my highlight would probably be the dabchicks, the little grebes, because there's two beautiful little grebes in lovely breeding colours sitting on the pond. And I was delighted to see two of them there because it's very likely that they'll breed there.
I'd have to say my highlight this morning was the sparrowhawk chasing across over our heads.
That was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm. And another thing I was amazed at too were the number of herons. There were quite a large number of herons here.
Well, there's a heron breeding colony.
Quite close there at the zoo.
Nearby. And so, yes, absolutely. We get a lot more herons here than you might expect in the middle of a parkland.
And they have become so tame lately. I mean, go back 20 years ago, you couldn't get near a heron. You couldn't get a photograph of a heron. Now you can walk up by them.
Yeah, and they seem to be very adaptable to humans because I lived in Holland for a while, and in Holland you virtually trip over them. They are absolutely tame and in the middle of the cities everywhere because of all the canals everywhere. So, yeah, they do seem to adapt to being with humans quite easily.
So overall, were you happy with this morning's work?
Yeah, delighted. Yeah, and I'm only halfway through. We've got to do the other half in a minute.
Okay, then it's time for breakfast.
Yes, second breakfast.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry. Speaking of birds, I've some sad news to report, and that is that this year's broadcast of the Dawn Chorus, scheduled to take place the first weekend in May, is cancelled. And it's on the grounds of health and safety. RTÉ has taken the decision, and rightly so, that we must look after the health and well-being of all of the contributors right across Europe, because there are literally hundreds of people who work on this programme. It's a 7-hour live broadcast from some 30 locations right across the continent. And we have to be mindful of their health and safety. And I want to thank all of our member broadcasting states in the European Broadcasting Union, also to our BirdLife International partners, and right here in Ireland, all of our contributors, and Birdwatch Ireland. Niall Hatch is our ornithological advisor on the Dawn Chorus. He's also the development officer with Birdwatch Ireland. Thank you, Niall. Don't forget, you can visit our website anytime you like, rte.ie/mini, where you have a very extensive archive of programme material to listen to, especially our documentaries, which will keep you entertained and informed during this period. Until next time, goodbye.